Welcome to Freedom House Podcast. We're always encouraged to know God is working through this church as we change our world one life at a time. So if you have a story to share about how this ministry has impacted your life, please let us know and send us an email at amen@thefreedomhouse.org. We hope you enjoy this message.
We are continuing our His Story Makers series as we've been going on for the past few weeks now. And hasn't it just been awesome? Got Pastor Josiah just breaking down Jonah and Jonah's journey. We're able to learn a lot from Jonah. And so we're going to continue on that track here today. First scripture here, 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, and behold, the new has come." If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, behold, the new has come. Jonah 4, we've been tracking along with Jonah. Jonah ends up in Nineveh. He is able to bring the message that God has for him to Nineveh. Nineveh then responds, and God shows mercy on Nineveh. And that's where we pick it up here in chapter 4. It says, "But it displeased Jonah." Jonah just seems like one of those guys that you can never please, man. I don't know. You ever had to work with anybody like that? Like, no matter what you do, no matter how much you do for them, they just never seem to be satisfied. It says, "But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was angry. And he prayed to the Lord and said, 'Lord, is not this what I said when I was yet in my country? That is why I made haste to flee to Tarshish. For I knew that you are a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love, and relenting from disaster. Therefore now, O Lord, please take my life from me, for it is better to die than to live.'" The New Living Translation puts it this way. It says, "This change of plans greatly upset Jonah, and he became very angry. He complained to the Lord about it. He said, 'Didn't I say before I left home that you would do this? That is why I ran to Tarshish. I knew that you are a merciful and compassionate God, slow to get angry and filled with unfailing love. You are eager to turn back from destroying people. Just kill me now, Lord. I'd rather be dead than alive if what I predicted will not happen." Heavenly Father, we thank you. We open up our hearts to you. We open up our spirits to you today, this afternoon, Father God, on this patio. Lord, as you prepare us to become and to build the church for the church that is coming, Father, I pray that you would open up our hearts, that your Holy Spirit speak today. That your Holy Spirit, Father God, bring clarity and bring freedom. In Jesus' name, somebody say amen. Why don't you turn to the person next to you, give them a high five or a handshake, and you can be seated. We're going to jump right into today's message. Jonah finds himself frustrated, mainly because Jonah is like an I know person. Anybody ever, you ever know an I know person in your life? Like, no matter how many times they come and ask you for advice, no matter how great of an advice like you've given, like you've prayed and you've fasted for them, and you're like, "I have this word from God for you," or, and they're like, "Yeah, I know. They come to you, like, those are always the funnest counselings to do, because they're like, "Man, I don't know what to do with my life." It's like, "Well, I think you should do this." "Oh yeah, I know. I'm like, "So we are meeting because you know? Like, you wanted me to tell you that you know." But it's I know people, you know what I mean? That are always some of the toughest people to get through to, because in their mind, they think they know. Like, they know they have maybe all the information, but yet it hasn't hit us a point within for it to click. Like, they're like, I know this is what I need to do. Yeah, I know I need to do this, but you're not doing it. But you haven't experienced it, and so therefore, what you think you know, maybe you don't know because it hasn't come to play in your life yet. Jonah is in this place where he's now frustrated because he's like, "God, I knew this was going to happen. God, when you called me and you told me this is where you wanted me to go, I knew that I was going to go and I was going to do it. And I knew that you would relent. And I knew that you wouldn't take the people of Nineveh and you would have mercy on them. So why did you even send me?" And oftentimes, in our lives, it's not what we know, but what we have experienced and what we live out. You see, Jonah was in an I know situation, but what he failed to realize is he hadn't really known what he thought he knew until he was put in a situation to experience it and to live it out. You see, Jonah couldn't deliver a message to Nineveh that he hadn't lived out himself. Jonah couldn't go and stand before a nation and let them know about this God that is graceful and merciful and all-powerful until he had experienced God for himself. See, he knew about God. He knew about what his ancestors shared about God, how God had delivered them out of Egypt, and how God had done all of these miracles. Like some of you, maybe the first time you guys came to church, or maybe this is your first time at church, you're like, yeah, you know, I've had somebody tell me, you know, about what they have experienced or what they've went through or how God's done this. But so I know that it could happen, but I haven't really experienced it for myself. You see, it would be impossible for me to stand up here today and be like, hey, Mac has the best makeup, because I don't use makeup. I've never experienced it. I've never put it on. I wouldn't be able to tell you what the difference is between Mac, Target, and the Dollar Tree, okay? Because I've never used it. So I wouldn't be able to stand up here in confidence and be like, yes, this is why you need to get it. And in our lives, a lot of times, what can happen is we could walk around and talk to people about a God that we haven't experienced for ourselves. We know a lot about him. You may even know a lot of scriptures, may even memorize a few of them. You may have heard what your grandpa said, and your grandma, and your mom, and your dad, or your aunt, or your tío. But you haven't experienced God for yourself. You see, it wasn't until Jonah was in the belly of a whale that he experienced the mercy of God. Because as we know from last week, Pastor Josiah was talking about that when Jonah jumped in, or when they threw Jonah into the water, Jonah wasn't expecting a fish to come and swallow him up. Jonah was expecting to die. It wasn't until that fish came that Jonah experienced the mercy of God firsthand. Jonah experienced the grace of God firsthand. And therefore, when that fish spits him out in Nineveh, now he is ready to share out of a place where he's had firsthand experience. Now he's able to come boldly before Nineveh and say, look, this is what God can do for you because he's done it for me. See, but Jonah finds himself on the backside. And I was like, God, I knew you were going to do this. He's like, I know, Jonah, but you had never experienced it. And I couldn't send you into a situation to proclaim something you haven't lived out before. And as we prepare, and as we talk about stepping into his story, we talk about becoming the church for the church that is coming. We can't be people that just know about the things of God. We have to be people that live out and experience the breakthrough, the forgiveness, and the freedom of God. Because we can't declare to captives that they have freedom when we still are lugging around our chains. You see, for us, we've been spit out of that belly, and now we're in this generation. We're in this community, Northern Orange County. And God hasn't spit us out just for us to be able to hang tight, check in, and check out of church. But he's prepared us to be a voice. He's prepared us to be a declaration to a generation that God is alive, that they do have purpose, that they do have destiny, that no matter how young or how old that they are, it's never too late to be able to fulfill the God and be able to be a part of his story for their lives. Right. But we won't be able to do this until we experience it firsthand. We can't proclaim freedom to a generation until we know what freedom is personally in our lives. And if there's one thing that's going to hold us back from declaring that and being that, it's our history. It's our past. It's our failures. It's our insecurities. It's those demons inside that we come and we sit in a Sunday service and we sit in a Wednesday service and we go to a connect group and we say a prayer and we feel a moment of ease. But then we leave and we walk right back into that chain. We walk right back into that bondage. And so if there's one thing that is going to keep us and hinder us from living out that purpose of God, it's going to be our past. You see, Jonah had to receive grace and mercy to be able to share grace and mercy. We have to be a church that receives the forgiveness of the Father, the breakthrough of God, to be able to build a church for the church that's coming and raise up a generation to walk in grace, to walk in forgiveness, and to walk in power. So how do we do that? How do we be a church that walks in breakthrough, walks in freedom, and walks in power? Point number one is we must receive the Father's covering. We must receive the Father's covering. What is the Father's covering? The Father's covering is mercy. It's forgiveness. Have you ever heard the phrase, history repeats itself? I know the first time I heard the phrase, history repeats itself, I was a junior in high school, my U.S. history class, and we're going through history, and even in the history of the United States, you begin to see how certain decisions lead to history repeating itself. And as I began to think and prepare for today's message and his story, I couldn't help but think of how many of us have had to deal with issues in our history, had to deal with issues in our past, abuse, anger, depression, insecurity, and how we, maybe you haven't, maybe I'm the only one, you've had to deal with certain issues trying to rise back up in your life and take you back captive, trying to repeat itself in your life. Maybe you're not that person. Have any of you ever tried to go on a diet and then the next day gave up? How many of you guys have done it twice or three times? History repeats itself. Come on, somebody. Turn to your neighbor and say, history repeats itself. You see, we see it happen far too often in the Old Testament. The Old Testament, God sets apart his people. He's got the nation of Israel, the Jews, and those are his people. And they love God, and they put God first, and they make sacrifices to God, and God leads them to the promised land and takes them out of captivity. But then sure enough, their history and their past begins to creep back up. Some of the things they hadn't quite gotten freedom and breakthrough from come back around, and they're now placed in a situation for them to make a similar mistake as their ancestors had made. And we see them fall back into sin and fall back into captivity, and then they go through this whole process of crying back out to God, and then God has to come and deliver them. And it goes on and on all throughout the Old Testament. But God has not called us to live a Christian life that just continues to repeat the cycle. He hasn't called us to a Christian life that says, hey, get to the highest point in your spiritual walk and then go right back down to the bottom. He says he wants to take us from glory to glory so that when you hit that peak, you don't go back to where you started from, but you hit an even newer level, a newer dimension. You get breakthrough in new areas that you didn't even know about. You're not constantly dealing with the same issues over and over again. You're not constantly dealing with the same insecurities over and over again. You're not constantly dealing with the same addiction over and over again. Because God is a God of forgiveness, but he's also a God of breakthrough. And he's a God of freedom. And God doesn't want us just to be okay with coming and receiving forgiveness, but he wants us to be a generation. He wants us to be men and women that live in freedom, that aren't tied down from what's happened in history, but are living for his story. You see, Jesus doesn't care what the circumstances is. He doesn't matter. He doesn't care how many times you've let somebody down. He doesn't care how many times you've let yourself down. He doesn't care what other people have done to tear you down. Because I realize that not every hurt, not every insecurity comes from your own choosing. But sometimes there are things that happen that are outside of us. Maybe you were too small or you didn't know where to go. And so abuse just continued to rule your life and you continue to be a victim to that. Jesus says it doesn't matter. 2 Corinthians 5:17, when you are in me, you are a new creation, that everything that's happened, every insecurity, every failure, every doubt, every depression will be washed away. You no longer have to live in captivity to that. As a matter of fact, I came to get rid of that. But you see, 2 Corinthians isn't the only place that we see that. We actually see the covering of God from the very beginning. You see, in Genesis chapter 3, Adam and Eve, maybe you guys are familiar, they are living in the Garden of Eden. Everything is well, perfect relationship with God, living without sin. Everything is the way it should be. Then Satan comes in and convinces them to go against God and to disobey God. And we see the first human sin, the first human act of disobedience in Genesis 3. And when God then approaches Adam and Eve in the garden, this is how he finds them. He says, at that moment, their eyes were opened and they suddenly felt shame at their nakedness. So they sewed leaves together to cover themselves. You see, God comes to Adam and Eve and they're in the garden and they had sewed together. Suddenly they became aware. They became aware of their nakedness. They became aware of their shame. They became aware that they had just made a decision that was really, really bad that could affect their relationship with God. And so what they did is they got what most of us do is they took what they had and they tried to cover themselves up. They got leaves, the Bible tells us, fig leaves, and they sewed them together. So essentially when God came to Adam, he found Adam in a hula skirt. Maybe God found you in a hula skirt. If he found you in a hula skirt, like a literal hula skirt, then we have to talk about what that story looked like. But the hula skirt I'm talking about is the hula skirt that tries to hide behind a job, behind a relationship, behind money, behind a career, behind a family. But the guilt and the shame is still there. The hurt is still there and it hasn't been dealt with because all you have is a cover. All you have is something to place over it. You haven't brought something to bring healing from the inside out. And so God comes and he finds Adam in a hula skirt. But we see the first act of mercy and forgiveness and when he sends them off. He finds them in a skirt. But in Genesis 3:21, it says, and the Lord God made clothing from animal skins for Adam and his wife. And you see, God offers the first sacrifice in that moment. In his anger, in his wrath. He's like, son, why did you do this? Nonetheless, let me give you an appropriate covering. A covering that is worth something. Not just something that you sewed together, but I'm a just God, and so there's got to be a punishment. And so we'll punish this animal, and I'll give you that animal skin to be able to cover you so that you could walk out of here with your head held high. And he puts the skin on Adam. He says, son, now you have my covering. You don't have to cover yourself any longer. You've now received the Father's covering. And you see, as I said, oftentimes Jesus comes to us and we are so scatterbrained, trying to hide ourselves, trying to cover ourselves, creating a story in our mind that is sure proof that if anybody asks anything, we have an answer for it. Well, why did this happen? Oh, well, this happened because of this, and this happened because of this. And we try to avoid the hurt. We try to avoid the divorce that took place. We try to avoid that addiction that we've hidden from the world. We've tried to avoid that abuse that took place in an early part of our life. We tried to avoid the fact that maybe we had parents that had an anger issue, that didn't quite know how to express their love to us, so therefore we don't know how to express our love to others, and so rather than hurting other people, we hurt ourselves. And we try to justify that. But what we don't realize is that by us hurting ourselves, all we're doing is avoiding and prohibiting ourselves from being able to step into His story, to be able to step into the purpose that God has for us. Because God doesn't just have forgiveness. God doesn't just have a skin to put on you, but He wants to bring healing from the inside. He wants to bring healing in the place that only God can see. He wants to bring healing to that thought, to that hurt that you feel every night that you go to sleep, to that hurt that you feel, and that anxiety you feel when you're in large crowds or you're around the opposite sex. That anxiety and that ugly feeling that you feel in the deep part of your gut. God says, that's what I want to talk to. That's where I want to bring healing to. I don't want to just cover you. I want to bring healing to you. You see, it's not just about mercy and forgiveness, but it's about breakthrough and freedom. There's a generation that is waiting for us. There is a Nineveh that is waiting for us. There is high schools. There is colleges. There are workplaces. There is a boulevard full of bars that are waiting for a church that will rise up and say, you know what? I was able to experience breakthrough and freedom. You can too. Yes, there is forgiveness, but there's breakthrough and there's freedom. And forgiveness will allow you to feel it for a moment, but breakthrough and freedom will allow you to live in it.
That is good.
Will allow you to live in it. Point number two, Jesus stepped in so we could step out of our history. Jesus stepped in so we can step out of our history. John 8:36 says, so if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Philippians 2:8 says, being found in human form, He humbled Himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. That when Jesus came to this earth, He came and He looked like us, but He carried the image and He carried the likeness of God. He was God in flesh. Though He looked like us, He was not us. And because He was not us, He was able to withstand the oppression. He was able to withstand the suffering. He was able to carry the cross that we were not worthy of carrying, that we were not able to carry. And He was able to carry that for us so that we could have more than forgiveness, but that we could have freedom and we can have breakthrough. You see, the Father doesn't want to settle. The Father doesn't want us settling for just being forgiven. Jonah spent 3 days in the belly of a whale. Jonah spent 3 days in the belly of a whale, but Jesus, somebody say, but Jesus. Jesus spent 3 days in the belly of hell to be able to erase your history, to be able to erase your past, to be able to erase all of those depressing moments and all of those hurtful moments that happened in your life. Because He said, son and daughter, it's not enough just to walk around with this skin upon you, but you need the one thing that can bring freedom. You need the one thing that can bring breakthrough. And that is only the sacrifice that My Son can give you. That is only the blood of Jesus that comes and cleanses you from the inside out, from the inside out, all the way through, in and through. It goes in and it sees those moments of your past. It sees those moments of hurt. It sees those moments that keep you up at night. It sees those moments that keep you from having that full relationship that you want with your spouse. It says, son, it's not just about forgiveness. It's about freedom. There is a generation that is depending on you to walk in freedom, to walk in breakthrough, to live out the call of God in your life, because they need that declaration, and they don't just need to hear what you know about. They need to hear what you've experienced. They need to hear your life. They need to hear what you live on a daily basis. Bible tells us, Colossians 3:5, It says, put to death the flesh. You see, Jesus comes into our lives and he gives us salvation. It's at that moment that he forgives us. He forgives us of all of our wrongdoing, forgives us of all of our mistakes, all of the disobedience that we've had in our lives. But then he wants us to live like him. He wants us to know him relationally. But then he says, I want you to begin to live like me. 1 Thessalonians 4:3 says, for this is the will of God. This is the will of God. You ever asked yourself, God, what is your will? What is your will for my life? This is the will of God, your sanctification. Your sanctification. What is sanctification? What are you talking about? What does that even mean? Sanctification is the process of being more like Jesus, living more like Jesus. That Monday, your life looks like Jesus. Tuesday, your life looks like Jesus. Wednesday, before church, your life still looks like Jesus. Thursday, your life looks a little bit more like Jesus. Friday, your life works a little bit more around Jesus. The weekend comes, Saturday night, guess what? Your life still looks like Jesus. It says, this is the will of God for your life. You see, God, Jesus will remove it, but then it's our responsibility. It's our responsibility to grow in it. It's our responsibility to put to death the flesh. It's where our spiritual discipline kicks in. Go ahead and stand to your feet with me, church. The Bible tells us in Hebrews 12:1, it says, therefore, since we're surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down. If there's anything that's going to hinder us from being a part of his story and living out the purpose and destiny for our lives, it's going to be the weights. It's going to be the bondage. It's going to be the chains, the addiction, the lust, the hurt, the insecurities, the depression that keeps us from becoming who God has created us to be. Bible also tells us in Hebrews 4:12, it says, for the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. It's not enough, church, to know about God. It's not enough to know about Jesus, not enough to know about his salvation, not enough to know about his forgiveness. We can't go to a generation and say, hey, there's this God Jesus that he forgives and you could experience forgiveness. I haven't quite got it yet, but you can do it. It's not enough for me, but you can have it. His freedom is not enough for me, but you can have it. A generation is waiting for a church to rise up that will say, we don't just know about Jesus, but his word is living and it is active and it goes to joint and marrow and it's alive inside of us and we live it out Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Because we love him and because we want to live in freedom. We don't want to live with this hole inside of our heart and inside of our spirit any longer. God, we refuse just to know about you, and we choose to live in you and through you. In Jesus' mighty name, let me pray for you. You're in this place today.
We would have